Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to BTR Boxing Podcast Network. This is the Big Fight Preview. I am your host, Sean, joined, as always, by Johnston for the first of two Big Fight Previews again this week. There's a good couple of shows on this coming weekend. The first one we're covering for this episode is the WBO World Cruiserweight Championship between Lawrence Acoli and Chris Billum-Smith down in Bournemouth, which is going to be a very interesting prospect. Acoli going on enemy turf against Chris Billum-Smith. And also on the undercard, we've got Mikhail Lawal versus Isaac Chamberlain, British Cruiserweight Championship on the line there. Two big fights, really, on these shows that I'm quite excited to be talking about for this first Big Fight Preview. We've got Sam Eggington on the card, we've got Carice Artinstall and Jade Taylor. You'll have seen some of the stuff that we've done recently in Jade Taylor's gym. We've got Michael McKinson there on that card as well, Lee Cutler, Stanley Stannard. So there's a few fights to talk about, but the main one, Johnston, is Acoli versus Chris Billum-Smith. This is a long time coming for Chris Billum-Smith, isn't it? Because we've been talking about him for quite some time. Him and Riakpor, both of them together, have been looking for a big shot at a world title, and we have said they've deserved it. You know, they're at that level where they fought the best and they fought each other. There's nobody else around, so who did he fight next? Naturally, they want to fight a world champion. They couldn't get Jai Opetaia. You know, they were not able to get Marius Bradis in there. Not able to get any of the other big-name cruiserweights around. So Lawrence Acoli steps up to the plate and takes on Chris Billum-Smith in Bournemouth, in Chris Billum-Smith's hometown. Exciting fight, this one, isn't it?
Yes, mate, it really is. I have to admit, there is something quite special about them stadium fights sort of here in this country, with the summer just looming around the corner. No one does it better than we do. And you've got the Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth FC, I should say. Their attendance, 11,700 they have in there. Probably with be more than that, with obviously you'd be able to use a bit of the grass. It's a small stadium, but it'll be a good atmosphere, good close atmosphere. And I'm sure Billum-Smith will be eager to prove himself on the big stage. And you know, former gym mates as well, these two, for quite a long time. Both obviously trained and managed and coached by Shane McGuigan. Obviously now, since, you know, Acoli's moved on with Sugar Hill Steward, and Billum-Smith has stayed with McGuigan. So there's that element there. They've sparred over 300 rounds together as well. Acoli only fought in March, you know, a few weeks ago, and he already took this fight. So after a long layoff, it's good to see him active. Riakpor was the one I thought, Sean, to be honest with you. I thought Riakpor and Lawrence Acoli, but Lawrence said that Riakpor didn't want to fight. He wasn't interested. That was his opinion. I mean, we'll have to find out. But Billum-Smith's got it. And yeah, it's a good fight, stadium fight, as I say. And it's going to be an intriguing one. And hopefully it's going to be a good one and not a bore fest like the last one we watched.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think when we look at his last fight against David Light, obviously David Light had a record of 20-0 coming into it. We didn't really know too much about him. We didn't really feel like he'd fought anybody of note in the cruiserweight divisions to be able to cause Lawrence problems, and he didn't really. I mean, Lawrence won the fight pretty comfortably, especially on two of the cards comfortably, and it was a ball fest. It wasn't exciting to watch, and it was back to that old style, really, of Lawrence Acoli, bearing in mind it is his first fight at that point with Sugar Hill Steward. So now he's had more time with Sugar Hill. Are the effects of what Sugar Hill's bringing to camp going to play out in this particular fight? And I also think as well, with the opposing fighter in the corner, Chris Billum-Smith, you know, we know what we're going to get with Chris We know Chris is going to come and put it on Lawrence. We know he's going to come and he's going to throw them bombs and he isn't going to be scared of what's coming back. And I think that's what makes this fight exciting, is Chris is going to give it his all. Chris's only defeat on his record, of course, is to Richard Ryakpour. Now, that was a really tough fight between the two of them, and it was a split decision loss as well. One judge actually thought Chris Billum-Smith had won that fight in 2019. So in all fairness, really, Chris Billum-Smith is at a point where he's then lost that fight, gone on and had really good victories twice over Tommy McCarthy, then over Isaac Chamberlain in his fight in July last year. He had his fight late last year against Ahmed Hohai, I think he's pronounced. And yeah, okay, it gave him an opportunity to stay active, and he KO'd him in five rounds. But now we've been waiting for this opportunity for Chris, and he's come. And now he's got to grab this with both hands. But it isn't going to be an easy feat. Obviously, we look at Lawrence Okolie, and we look at how big he is as a cruiserweight. And how we've always said, it won't be long before he goes up to heavyweight with his natural physical advantages. So going to Chris then, Johnston, talking a little bit about Chris and what he brings to the table and what we've seen of him over the past few years and his improvements that he's made. What does he have to do to be able to get on the inside under that jab of Lawrence Okolie and be able to cause problems for Lawrence in this fight?
Yeah, Billum-Smith, he's an interesting one, because I wasn't too sure of him early doors. Sort of after the Ryakpour fight, I felt that Ryakpour's going to now push on and Billum-Smith's going to now be sort of where Isaac Chamberlain was, kind of thing. Ironically, they did fight each other, Isaac Chamberlain fighting both, obviously. But in actual fact, what happened was Ryakpour sort of dropped back, and then it was Billum-Smith who caught him back up again. So it was almost sort of had that feel of maybe they might have the rematch before the winner sort of gets the card. The way it's worked, it hasn't. So Billum-Smith has forced his way into that position. And it's thanks to Shane McGuigan. I do feel that Shane has improved Billum-Smith in terms of his confidence, where he's more confident and going in. Like you say, against Ryakpour, I think he was a little bit more hesitant. And now since then, he's gone on to actually trust his power. But then I do worry with Billum-Smith that he probably trusts his power a little bit too much, because where he used to work behind that jab, he stopped that jab. It's sort of like a soft jab, and he throws it more of a marker to then go in and vary his shots, and he does come in straight lines. Every time I've seen him, I feel, especially, you know, the Isaac Chamberlain fight, literally walking in straight lines, not really working behind the jab. So although McGuigan can take credit, I think, for giving him the confidence to trust his power, I think that jab's gone a little bit for me, Sean. I think, as I say, soft, he throws it as a marker, and he's more interested in just getting in close and trying to outwork his fighter. But he is very orthodox in the way he fights. He stands upright, he keeps his guard up. And he, you know, as I say, that jab is more of a marker in a minute, rather than, he has got a good jab. So I think he needs to try and establish that. That being said, Lawrence Okolie is the unorthodox fighter, isn't he? But with the basic fundamentals, if that makes sense. When I say he's unorthodox, I mean, it's difficult to gauge sort of where his angles are. And he's those long levers of his, and he's sort of that wide physique, and how he leans on you if you get on side, and he can make it boring. So you can understand why he's probably even gone to the Kronk Gym, because I do think that style with Sugar Hill will actually cater more of his style in terms of working behind that jab and keeping his fighters at range, which is what I think Okolie needs to try and do. But Billum-Smith, Sean, needs to get in. He needs to get in close. He needs to make it awkward and hard for Okolie and not allow him to lean on him when he does close that gap. He can't be allowed to be kept at range. So for me, Billum-Smith needs to be in close. He needs to get in there, get in the exchanges. And the good thing about him, though, what we've seen, is he doesn't mind getting hit to land a few. So for me, that's the only way he wins this fight. If he stays at range, it's not going to work for Billum, is it, Sean? He needs to get in close. How does he do it? He needs to dip under that jab and get in as quick as possible, land a couple of shots and try and hurt Okolie before he can even smother him and make it all awkward and a horrible watch, which is what he can do.
I think, like you said, he's got to get on the inside, and that's the difficult part of this fight for him.
It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. It's easy enough to sit here and say it. It's well easy to say it. But in reality, trying to do it is a completely different feat, really. If Chris Billum-Smith can do it and get success in the fight and take a bit of confidence during the fight, then I think Okolie is going to start to go to that old unorthodox style that you mentioned. And I think if he ruffles his feathers a little bit I think he's going to revert to type. And I say that in the sense that he will revert to what he used to do rather than what he's probably been trained to do. And I think that could happen. We've seen it happen in fights. We've seen it happen where I remember when Floyd Mayweather Sr., sorry, tried to teach Ricky Hatton how to be a boxer again. Like, Ricky Hatton was a great boxer when he was younger, but he adapted his style with Billy Graham, where he'd come on the inside, he'd rush his opponents, he'd get him against the ropes, he'd trap him, and he adapted that style, and it worked for him. It got him to the top of the mountain, didn't it? But as soon as he tried to adapt that style in a different way, it didn't work for him. It didn't. He didn't look as good. He struggled a little bit more. The Pacquiao fight in particular was one where he's like, think, why would I try and box against Pacquiao? Yeah, you're not going to win this fight. And he got absolutely sparkled. So I think with Billum Smith, if he ruffles the feathers of a coli in this fight, maybe early in the fight, and he shifts him out of his game plan, maybe, just maybe, he might be able to bully him a little bit more. He might be able to trap him. He might be able to cut the ring off. And these are all theoretical mights. But in my mind, that's how I see Billum Smith winning the fight. If he's to win it, this is what he's got to do. He's got to do it. And like I said, easier said than done from us sitting on a microphone talking about it. But the reality is that is probably the only way he's going to be able to make it difficult for Lawrence Okolie to get any shots off, to get the big right hand off, to get any of the big wild swings off. If he doesn't let him do it, he smothers the work of Okolie. And you think about what Okolie's got to do. Well, it's relatively straightforward for Okolie. He's got the distance. He's got the range. He can keep Chris Billum Smith at range, and he can pop that right hand off. He can throw a variation of shots from range as long as he's in the right distance. But he's got to find that distance. And again, this is the difficulty for Okolie. He's got to make sure he finds that right range and he doesn't let Chris Billum Smith too close to him. And if he does that, and he does it with success, he could make this a relatively straightforward performance for himself. It really could. I don't think it's going to be straightforward. I think Chris Billum Smith's going to cause some problems in this fight. And if Okolie has been working hard on different things in the gym, we're going to see it. This is the fight for him as a fighter to prove that. Like, he's got a lot of critics recently because of his last fight. Again, as soon as he has an off night, people absolutely jump all over him. And I understand why, but I think it's not fair. He was out of the ring for quite some time. He's changed trainer now. So he's needed a bit of time to adapt. If he did the same thing in this fight and it created a real bore fest, snooze fest completely, then maybe the justification and the criticism could be warranted. However, if he puts on an art form in the ring and he absolutely keeps Billum Smith at range, makes it an easy night's work, very much Kronk-esque, like Klitschko and like Lennox Lewis and all those before them, you know, the way they used to do it with Emmanuel Stewart, if he keeps that sort of mentality and he makes it easy for himself, then yeah, I can applaud that. I can applaud him doing that. But it's a difficult night for him at the office. This, for me, this is Okolie's toughest test. This, at this level now, this is his toughest test. Chamberlain a few years ago was his toughest test at that point. Yes, he won a world title, but for me, this is his toughest test. Now, Chris Billum Smith is hungry. You know, he could have arguably won the fight with Riakpor. People could sit there and say, yeah, well, I'm not going to, you know, credit that loss on his record. Technically, he's a guy that really hasn't fully tasted defeat, if you really want to go down that route. But I think this is his toughest test, Okolie, and I think Billum Smith's going to come and put it on him. Johnston, what do you see for this fight in terms of it playing out? We've talked about how each of the fighters could win the fight and how they potentially could do it. But in your heart of hearts now, how do you see it playing out and who do you see winning?
Well, it's a difficult one because, as you say, I do believe this is, because where Billum Smith has sort of improved, I do feel that this is a tough fight for Lawrence. And I do feel this is definitely going to be his toughest test because of the fact as well he's going to the Vitality Stadium and it's going to be a very pro Billum Smith crowd. I think the one thing to highlight is the fact they have sparred over 300-odd rounds with each other, so they know each other's style. And you do wonder if I'll worry that we're going to get a bit of a sparring match rather than a physical battle, because they know each other so well and there's respect there. They actually like each other, they're friends. So it's unusual, isn't it? Because I think for me, the only other fight I remember where you had two guys that were mates and they fought, not for a world title at the time, but it was Joe Calzaghe and Richie Woodall. They had that that respect for one another, and they sort of said they're going to put it to one side for the fight. But sometimes you're so used to sparring this guy for so many rounds. All right, you've got a crowd behind you and TV cameras there, but sometimes you can find yourself getting into that pattern and that routine. So I hope it doesn't go down that way. I'm hoping that they are able to produce the goods on the night. I think Billingsley's got to be careful because he doesn't need to be... He's going to have to press it. He's going to have to press the fight. Literally, Okoli has power from range. I think that's the dangerous thing about him. So he can land those the jab that and get those long levers, set the marker and land a big right hand. And we've seen William Smith get hurt. He got hurt against Chamberlain. I know he come back and hurt Chamberlain, but he was hurt. Even in his last fight, he was hurt at one point in that fight. And you do worry because those guys are not as big punchers as Okoli is. So if Okoli could keep it at range and then land from range, then William Smith... He might struggle, and he tires as well, William Smith, sort of in between sort of six odd rounds. From about six rounds onwards, he has moments, he has spurts, and he can't allow that to happen. But he doesn't need, so what I'm trying to say is he doesn't need to rush it, but he doesn't want to wait too long because Okoli will just work behind the jab all night. So, I think he needs to bide his time a little bit, William Smith. Okoli will, I think, take the early exchanges, maybe the first couple of rounds, two, three rounds. And then you're going to get Billingsley, who's going to try and go for it. He's going to have to go for it. He will take one to land one. If he doesn't get hurt at any of those rounds, then I think he might have a bit of joy. That being said, Okoli just holds you. He leans on you. So he's going to have to get his work off quickly. If he does that, then we could be in for a fascinating night. I can't really see Billingsley doing anything past the sixth round, because I think he's going to tie. I think because Okoli's just so... I know they're both big, but Okoli's just so big and awkward that I just feel like he's going to tire him out. And I feel that it's going to go the distance. And Billingsley won't get... I don't think he's going to get knocked out. I think he's going to get hurt. I don't think Okoli's even going to get hurt, though. I just don't see it. I might be wrong, but no one's really done it before. And I can't see Billingsley being the man to do it. So I do think it's going to go distance, and I'm leaning towards Okoli taking it by about three or four rounds.
Good prediction. My prediction for this fight, I think Okoli wins the fight. I think there's two sort of mindsets I'm in with this. I think he wins it, but I'm not so sure whether he stops him later in the fight or whether it just goes the distance and it ends up being, like you said, a bit of a glorified sparring session. I can't see it being that way. Billingsley's had got his opportunity now, hasn't he? Why is he going to make it like a glorified sparring session? He's going to try, man. He's really going to try. It's his opportunity for a world title, for God's sake. He's not going to make it into what it was during sparring. Two different things. He's going to go for it. But in the sense of him going for it, I think that's where he could leave himself exposed. It's why I think maybe a late stoppage could come with this. I'm not going to say it's going to be one definitive prediction. I can see Okoli winning it. That's how I see it. My prediction, Okoli wins. It's just the way he wins it, I'm not 100% sure. And I don't know whether it's going to be a late stoppage or whether he'll just go the distance with him. Either way, for me, Lawrence Okoli wins this fight. And Chris Billingsley hopefully comes out of there with his head held high. And you never know. We might see something completely different and we could be totally wrong. And Chris Billingsley could land something that could shake Okoli to his core and absolutely put him on jelly legs, and we end up seeing a big upset and a new world champion, which, you know, I love a good underdog story. It's very possible, yeah.
Very possible, especially with that crowd behind him. If he does land something, he could pressurise the action. But I do... That's what he's got to do, Sean, isn't he? That's the only way he wins this fight. If he keeps this at range, he's not going to win the fight, and he's going to have to take the risk, which I think he'll do. He will do it at some point. It's just how that goes, how that sways. Does he get the better in exchanges, and does he hurt Okoli? But it's an intriguing one, it is.
It really is. So another good fight that we're really looking forward to on this card is former opponents of both Billingsley and Okoli, which is Isaac Chamberlain fighting for the British Cruiserweight Championship against Mikhail Lawar, which I think is going to be a really, really good fight for the undercard. I'm excited for this particular fight also, because I think we've been waiting for Chamberlain in particular to really sort of rise up to that level again and get a big opportunity again. And obviously his opportunity came against Chris Billingsley last July, and he lost it, unanimous decision. And now he's got another opportunity here now to become the British champion. Now to do that, he's got to go past Mikhail Lawal, who is undefeated, the undefeated cruiserweight. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this fight plays out between the two of them. I think, like, Mikael Lawal, he had a really good fight with David Jameson in November last year, and he actually fought Jameson rocked him early on in that fight and caused him a few problems before he ended up having to retire because of a broken jaw in the eighth round. And that was a really good fight for the vacant British title at that time. So I've seen some sort of vulnerabilities there with Lawal, and I just don't know whether Chamberlain's going to be able to exploit them or not. And this is what makes it exciting for me, because I think Chamberlain's a guy, a few years back when we was talking about the Akolai-Chamberlain fight, where, you know, you didn't know which one of these two guys were going to go on to do bigger things. And obviously, Akolai is the one that's become world champion. Chamberlain, you know, he hasn't. He spent 2 years out of the ring from 2018 to 2020. He's come back. He's had about four or five fights. And, you know, one of them was Chris Billum Smith. He lost. Now this is his next big opportunity. This is a difficult fight to predict. I don't really know who I honestly think could win this one. Based on sort of form, based on what I've seen so far, I'm edging towards Mikael Lawal, but I can't discount and discredit Isaac Chamberlain from actually reaching some of his potential here by being a British champion. What are you making of this fight then, Johnston? It's a good fight for the cruiserweight division and a good chief support fight for this card as well.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then the other thing about it is, talking about Billum Smith and Akolai, is there's no animosity between the pair. They're good friends. Whereas these two, there is a little bit. They've, again, sparred before several rounds. Apparently, there's some footage out there that Laurel's sort of telling Chamberlain he needs to release or something or other that I see at the press conference, which is quite funny. So there is a little bit of needle between them. So that's, you know, we do like friends fighting. Don't get me wrong, but we do like a little bit of needle as well. And this is going to be interesting. I think Laurel is, when you look at it, you know, he seems to be the bigger puncher. He's the guy that's knocked more people out. Chamberlain, on the other hand, he's fought Akolai, he's fought Billum Smith. And the Billum Smith fight, he hurt Billum Smith a few times, and he took several shots from Billum Smith and withstood him. It was a really good fight, actually. Really good fight. And it showed real character that Chamberlain's got, which is something that Laurel's never had. And although Chamberlain's saying, I'm going to respect his power, I do feel that, you know, Chamberlain's got a good jab. He can work behind it. If he gets into one of those exchanges, can Chamberlain withstand a little dig? I think he probably can. I think he showed a good chin against Billum Smith. And, you know, he's got other guys he's defeated. Like, I know it was 2018, as you said, before his two-year hiatus from the ring. But the Luke Watkins win was a good win for him. I don't know. It is close. You don't know. Is Laurel going to land big? And if he does, is Chamberlain going to be able to handle it? I think if it goes, the more the fight goes on, I'm definitely favouring Chamberlain. So Chamberlain just needs to be careful in the early exchanges. Try and use that jab. He's got a good jab. He's got a decent jab. If he can do that, keep Laurel off of him, then I think they're going to get into a war show. I think there's going to be a moment in this fight where it's going to be an all-out war. And after what I see with Chamberlain against Billum Smith, and the way he was able to withstand it for 12 rounds and even come back almost literally 30 last 10 seconds of that fight, he almost stopped Billum Smith. If that had gone on another round, I think Billum Smith would have had to have taken a knee. So for me, I will go with Chamberlain. I think he's just going to eventually grind through it, those exchanges where they just want to knock each other's heads off and he just have that little bit more composure, because he's been in those situations. He'll have the more, in terms of his IQ, in terms of clearing his head space. When you're hurt and you've been hurt before, you have that knowledge, that experience to be able to keep your head clear. And I think that's where Chamberlain comes through and just wins it. He might even stop him. I think it's just might just go to the distance. But I, you know what? I'm going to favour an Isaac Chamberlain late stoppage, sort of in between 8 and 9.
It'd be a good fight. I think, like I said earlier, with the Jameson fight against Lawal, Jameson shown that there were vulnerabilities in Lawal. He hurt him as well. So there's no saying that Isaac Chamberlain cannot hurt Lawal in this fight. It's just Lawal's got the reputation as being the bigger puncher on his resume. So it is an interesting fight. And really, you know, for Chamberlain, he's going to want to win this British title. And then you've got people like Jordan Thompson, who is waiting in the wings. And I think the winner of this fight really should be going against Jordan Thompson next. I think that would be the ideal fight for me. The winner of this against Jordan Thompson for the British title would be a really good domestic fight between British guys. British guys that are looking to progress forward again. I mean, Riyad Paul, we know where Riyad Paul's at. Let's think of him as, he's a world title challenger. That's where I see him at now. These three guys that I just mentioned, Lawal, Chamberlain and Jordan Thompson, these are three guys that are sort of at the British level that could quite easily step up, because the cruiserweight division really isn't that littered with stars. So I don't think it's going to be that difficult for either of these two to move on to that European and then that world level. So there's a lot of opportunity here for a lot of our guys to really push forward. So a good chief support fight. Another fight that I'm interested in on this card, finally getting to see Joe Pickford at 20-0 in a meaningful fight. A meaningful fight against Sam Eggington, 33-8. That Sam Eggington, the former IBO super welterweight champion until he was dethroned by Dennis Hogan. He came back and beat James McCarthy in a little bit of a layup in March, but he's now back and he's looking to again, once again, push himself forward. Good old Sam Eggington, still only 29 years of age. You forget how long Sam's been around and those wars that he's been in. But this is the chance for Joe. Joe Pickford, we talked about him so many times on undercards. You know, when is he going to step up? He's 20-0 with 19 knockouts on his resume. You know, his resume looks amazing, but he's not fought anybody. This has always been our problem with him. It's like, when are you going to fight somebody? When is your promoter, when is your manager going to put you in and get you a fight with somebody who's going to cause you problems? Now's the opportunity. If he beats Sam Eggington, he gets a good name on his record. He then pushes himself into a position to fight better super welterweights on the domestic scene. This is what he needs. He's 30 years of age. He needs to be pushing forward now. Otherwise, he's at risk of being exposed with a real padded record. And this happens to fighters. How many times have we seen this happen to fighters? This is my fear for someone like a Joe Pickford. Got a great resume. Hasn't fought anybody. Fights somebody. Sam Eggington goes and beats him. Joe Pickford, he just gets exposed, doesn't he? He just gets, you know, he's not the fighter we thought he was. I hope he isn't that. I hope he, you know, in a way he beats Sam, because then it proves that actually he's a good fighter and he needs to move forward. Sam Eggington's a really good benchmark for sort of European slash, yeah, world fringe contender, so to speak. Maybe people might shout at me for saying he's a fringe contender. I'd say he's definitely European level. He won the IBO title, of course. We can't discredit that. You know, it's one of the lightly regarded titles. But still, I'd still say he's sort of European slash world fringe contender. So if Joe beats him, that puts him in a good place to potentially look at a bigger fight. So that's another fight that I think you guys should be tuning into as well. Michael McKinson is also back on this card. We've got Lewis Edmondson, Lee Cutler versus Stanley Stannard, which I think would be an interesting watch as well. We've got Mace Ruegg also on this card, 8-0. Tommy Welch, 10-0. And then we've got Carice Artinstall against Jade Taylor. Now, if you guys have not been tuning into any of our social media stuff, I went to Marvin Greaves' gym where I go and train as well with my children. And I did a little bit of promo work for all the boxers there. And Jade was one of them, because Marvin's training Jade for this fight. And it's a big deal for her. She's been out of the ring for over 12 months after breaking a foot. She was fighting Lindsay Bujinski in her last fight. She fought for the Central Area title. She won the Central Area title and then has not fought for 12 months. She's now going in there against Carice Artinstall on this card. And I wish her nothing but the best of luck, because she's got a real task ahead of her. But I think she's got the opportunity to cause an upset here. I'm just worried that ring rust is going to be a problem for her. And I've said this to her. I've been totally honest and said, you know, I'm a little worried here. You've got 12 months out of the ring after a broken foot. You've not fought. It's difficult. You're fighting somebody who's got this great pedigree. But I wish her nothing but the best of luck, because it is a great opportunity for her to really go out there and make a statement in this fight. And that is that particular card, guys. That is the card for the first big fight preview that we are covering. We are going to be back with another big fight preview. Mauricio Lara versus Lee Wood. The rematch is on in Manchester on the same night. We're going to be channel hopping on the same night, which is horrible. Horrible when this happens, when you get two decent cards, two big fights that are happening. And we're going to have to somehow channel hop between the two to catch the fights we want to catch. So if you want to catch us talking about Mauricio Lara versus Lee Wood, the rematch, please tune into our other episode, which is also available. And that is it for the big fight preview. Just a little bit of housekeeping. Please make sure, as always, you go and like and share everything on social media. If you see any little videos we've put out, if you see any little voice clips we've put out, please do share them, like and share them, retweet them, do the necessaries. Truly helps us. If you've not already subscribed to us, please do on any of the platforms available. If you want to follow us and you're not following us yet, we're on every platform. BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter and BTR Boxing Podcast Network on all other social media platforms. And finally, a big shout out to the patrons of this podcast. Thank you so much, as always, for supporting us. We hope you're enjoying the ad-free version of this episode. And if you're not a patron and you want to check out what else we do, please check us out at patreon.com/BTR Boxing Podcast Network. That is it for this episode. Please tune in to our other big fight preview for this week. And we will be back next week with a huge reaction show to the last two weekends. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
The dream is made real. Ricky Hatt rocks the world.
How do you like it? How do you like it?
Wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It's over. Mamma mia, he's done it. Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Sports Social Podcast Network.